Matt Charbonneau, who is a writer for the Detroit News. He covers Michigan State football and men's basketball. We're going to have him elaborate on two stories you were just talking about. Matt, how are you?
Good, Tony. How are you?
Man, there's never an off season in football or men's basketball, is there?
No kidding. We go year round.
All right, well, let's start with the Knicks deal. It looks like he got a pretty good deal, although he is not a habitual offender. I guess this was expected, but he still has a lot of work to do to get this off his slate.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, you know, $853 is probably not a chump change for a kid like him. And, you know, he's got the community service to do and a few other things. But I'm not real surprised by that legally. The interesting stuff is still going to be to see what Tom Izzo is going to require of him to, you know, fully get back with that basketball team. So, you know, the legal stuff is just kind of one of the things he has to take care of. He's going to have a heck of a lot more responsibility, which we're still going to figure out, obviously.
Now, we're wondering who's going to be the leader for that team or who are going to be the leaders, as Knicks was issued a challenge by Izzo before this legal issue came up to be one of those leaders. Now that he's probably going to be out of the picture, who's the leader for the Spartan basketball team?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because not only did Tom Izzo challenge him, I mean, Derek Nix talked a lot about it right after that final NCAA game, that he was really looking forward to it and becoming that leader. So it's going to be interesting. I think Derek will still try and take that. You know, whether that happens, we'll see. After that, it's kind of tough. I mean, you look at a guy like Keith Affling, who's a point guard. It's a natural position, but he doesn't really seem like a natural leader to me. So I think it's going to have to come from someone maybe you don't really expect. Maybe Travis Trice is a point guard. He really kind of has that mentality. If his playing time continues to increase, I wouldn't be surprised if it's somebody like that. But it's certainly going to be an interesting thing, certainly early, whether Derek can still has the trust of his teammates and can take that spot. But I think it's going to be wide open, really.
All right, let's talk about Michigan State football as we are now past the spring football season. DeAnthony Arnett was a pretty good receiver for Tennessee last year. Tell us about his track from Tennessee to Michigan State.
It's going to be interesting now that he's eligible, you know, where exactly he's going to fit in. You know, in the spring he admitted that it was, you know, he had a lot on his mind. Obviously, he's a new kid, a transfer, learning a new system. He had the whole NCAA issue. His dad's in not great health, so there was a lot on his mind. So, you know, there are some other receivers, maybe it was Andre Sims Jr. or some of the other guys that probably maybe were ahead of him on the depth chart by the end of the spring. And with a lot of good receivers coming in the fall, it's going to be interesting to see where he falls in there. But I think he's a talented enough kid that once he's kind of got, you know, solid feet under his ground, you know, under his feet now, I think he's going to do a lot better, maybe adapt to that offense quicker, because the kid's really talented. So I know they're expecting a lot out of him, and they're really hoping this was going to be the NCAA decision. So they're looking forward to getting him back out there in the fall, and hopefully he's a lot more comfortable with the system by then.
Now, Matt, he transferred here from Tennessee because his father is ailing. What do we know about that?
He's on the waiting list for a kidney transplant, and, you know, DeAnthony told us a few weeks ago he's obviously still in that kind of holding pattern, waiting and seeing. So, obviously, it was difficult. His dad could not travel to Tennessee to see him play. You know, and that was kind of a big factor for DeAnthony. He also just wanted to be a lot closer to him. I mean, now he can just jump in the car and be home in about an hour, whereas when he was in Tennessee, it was a much bigger deal. So yeah, that was really his motivation. For now, he's just, you know, his dad, he says he's not really getting any better. It's just kind of a wait and see and hope that finally his name gets called on that list. So that's kind of where the family is right now, and just kind of waiting their turn and crossing their fingers and hoping that it happens soon for them.
Man, it should be a very interesting football season. Season ticket sales are going very, very well for Michigan State. They've got a big season opening game with Boise State, which is traditionally a very good football team. They have a lot of good football players. Four were ranked in the top 25 as far as draft prospects by Mel Kiper Jr. from ESPN. Coach D'Antonio has been ranked in the top 25 of coaches, so a lot of promise, a lot of positive vibes about Michigan State's football team.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, you're seeing it pretty much in just about everywhere you look now. I mean, especially when you look at, you know, Mel Kiper's top 25 rankings, and Michigan State has more players than anybody else. And let's be honest, when Mark D'Antonio came here, any, you know, if they had three players drafted, let alone ranked that high, that was quite an accomplishment. So to see what he's done in the last few years here is pretty impressive. And you're right, with everyone coming back, the high-profile games, I mean, this is kind of what every Michigan State fan was hoping for. And, I feel like I say it all the time, but what Mark D'Antonio has done since he's been here has been so impressive. He's just, you know, recruited so much talent, so much depth across the board that, you know, I don't think, even in a season where maybe the expectations aren't going to be as high, I don't think you're going to see any big drop-offs from this program anymore.
And finally, Matt, before I let you go, it still seems like with all this hype and with all these stories, these positive stories for the team, it still seems as they are under the radar, that they're not getting the props that they should get when it comes to publicity and respect, because we still hear most of the talk about Michigan. Even a lot of their players think that the four-game losing streak is going to end. A lot of the talk is about Urban Meyer at Ohio State. And it still seems like Michigan State is still fighting, you know, for that number one spotlight in the conference.
Well, I think you're right, and I don't think it's even just limited to Michigan State. I mean, you look at a team like Wisconsin, really over the last few years, who have been the two best teams? It's been Michigan State and Wisconsin, yet most of the talk ends up being about Michigan and Ohio State. You know, I can understand all the Ohio State stuff, Urban Meyer's there, everything that's happened, but, you know, the whole Michigan State thing, you know, we can go back and forth on that one all day, you know, but obviously their players are going to say it's going to end, but, you know, we all see the reality. It happens on the field, but I guess it takes a long time to overcome history. I saw an ESPN thing where they were still talking about Michigan State, you know, and the issues they would have on the field and being inconsistent. And I really haven't seen that in 5-6 years now, but that's still the perception. So, you know, why it is, I'm not sure, but they still are, you're right, they're still fighting that perception that they are kind of the underdog and people kind of overlook them. But I tell you what, if they keep racking up 11-win seasons, they're not going to care what anybody else nationally thinks. They'll take those every year, that's for sure.
Even though Kirk Cousins has graduated, I believe he's still going to be in the news quite a bit. He is with Washington, of course. Robert Griffin III, the Heisman Trophy winner, is there, but there's a good chance for he to make that team. And we'll be following the Redskins because Keith Nichol has a good opportunity to make that football club.
Yeah, kind of interesting spot for them both to land. I mean, you know, the Kirk Cousins pick there is, you know, till to this day, I don't necessarily understand it. There's two schools of thought. It's good for Kirk because there's not going to be a lot of expectations on him early, but I don't think there would have been either, say, if he got drafted by Denver and he's playing behind Peyton Manning. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I think he's definitely going to be on that team there. I would certainly expect him to be the backup. I don't see that going to Rex Grossman. I mean, the guy's really not done much in his career, so. You know, we know Kirk. He's going to fight like crazy, and he's going to be there every day. I know he's going to work as hard as anybody on that team. So, you know, whether it happens right away for him or down the road, I think at some point he's certainly going to get his opportunity, whether it's in Washington or where it happens to be. But I would never count that guy out.
You can go to DETnews.com or pick up this morning's Detroit News. And if you look on the front page of the sports page, Matt Charbonneau has coverage of Michigan State football and men's basketball stories. And we look forward to, Matt, to talking with you again. Enjoy your weekend.
All right. Thanks, Tony.